This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would you like to get off your chest? Are you holding on to secrets, fears, or frustrations? We all carry around different stressors, both big and small. Don't keep it all bottled up inside. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and work through whatever is weighing you down. It's also a great way to learn to resolve conflict, change negative thought patterns, and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BeHereNow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BeHereNow.
After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/BeHereNow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
Welcome to Living with Reality, a podcast featuring archived teachings and modern conversations with Dr. Robert Svoboda, brought to you by the Be Here Now Network. Living with Reality explores Ayurveda and other wisdom traditions of India, which Dr. Svoboda has been studying for nearly 50 years. For more information, please visit BeHereNowNetwork.com/Dr. Svoboda. That's DrSvoboda. Hello, and welcome to Living with Reality. I'm Paula Crossfield, your host and Dr. Svoboda's media manager. I'm also a Vedic astrologer, and Dr. Svoboda has taught me much of what I know. So I'm super excited about the conversation that I had with him recently about omens, which is our topic for today's podcast. If you'd like to learn more about my work, you can go to weaveyourbliss.com or you can follow me at Instagram at weaveyourbliss. Before we jump right in, I want to let you know that Dr. Svoboda has a new course out on Vastu, or how to organize space. It's like the Indian version of feng shui. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can go to drsvoboda.teachable.com and you'll see it there. Okay, we hope you enjoy today's podcast. So could you talk just a little bit about what an omen is and how it fits into astrology?
Most people, particularly in India, when they think of trying to predict the future, and of course it's only because we as humans have a concept of the past that we also have a concept of the future. And since we know what happened in the past, and since we often know what's happening in the present, there's always been an interest in trying to figure out what's going to happen in the future. And while the most popular ways of doing that nowadays include both astrology and palmistry, which in India are regarded as two facets of the same thing, the probably more basic, more fundamental, more ancient way of doing things was to look for omens. And the word omen is an interesting word. It's very unclear as to what its source was. Many of its synonyms are understood from the point of view of how they emerged as words, including augury, which had to do with identifying meaning from birds, the position or the movement of birds. In just a very general, very large and general kind of way, I think it would be fair to describe an omen as an event that occurs that is interpretable in the context of divination, of attempting to understand what is happening and what may happen. And there are many, many different types of events that have been used in the past for this sort of thing, including atmospheric events, red sky at morning, sailors take warning, red sky at night, sailors delight. I mean, that's in a way that's basic meteorology, but in the days before meteorology, it was a practical way of having some idea of what the weather might do. Celestial omens, meteors, eclipses, things like that. And terrestrial omens, including the movement of the smoke of incense, the way the ash falls, the movement of oil or ripples in water, the flight of birds. The Chinese used to take the scapula of a dead animal and put a red hot poker into it and interpret the cracks that occurred. Reading tea leaves, reading coffee grounds, prophesying on the howling of dogs. There's a wide, wide spectrum of different things that can be interpreted. In my opinion, the most important thing is to remember that an omen is not the cause of an event. It's something that's happening at the time the event is happening that helps us understand what may be the implications of a particular event. In Sanskrit, the word that's used for omens is nimitta. And nimitta, in fact, can mean both the cause and what that cause foretells or portends. It's, in my opinion, very important not to confuse the omen, the sign that nature is providing you, with the cause of the event itself, because that's something that people tend to do.
So I remember in the third Agora book, where you talk about karma in a lot of detail with Vimalananda, and you're very excited at that moment about all these different omens you're seeing and you're trying to interpret them. And I know there's a lot of books in India that will tell you, like, if a dog walks from the left side of the road and, you know, or is from the right side of the road, that means this or this. So you can get really caught up in the details of that. So first, I'm curious if you have any advice for people as they're trying to employ this practically. And do you have to have a book, or can you understand omens without knowing all those details?
I think it's probably better to avoid using books and to try to understand what the world is trying to tell you without the book. It may be nice to read a book just to get an idea of what something might mean. But it's very important to remember that this sort of language is very specific to each individual. So what nature may be saying to you with one event that you're observing, it may have a completely different event interpretation for someone else who's observing the same event. And even when an event is meaningful, it's not always easy to understand what the meaning is, because it's not a a verbal thing. It's not, and we as humans, especially nowadays, have become very habituated to relying on words, whereas this is something that's it requires intuition, and that requires us to be able to let go of words temporarily. It's also important to remember that not everything that happens is an omen. It's very unwise to go out and look for omens. They should be, if for them to be really meaningful, they should simply be coming to you. Because if you really are looking for things, it's very easy to identify events that really are nothing more than events, maybe that are reflecting the influence of a particular graha, a particular planet, or some sort of karmic connection to a thing that may not be any more than that temporary and fleeting, passing karmic connection. And yes, when I was with Vimalananda back in those days, and he started explaining to me a few things about omens, I got very excited and started to interpret everything. And this was one of his first teachings to me on the subject, that not everything is an omen. When he and I would start out, for example, to go to the race course, that would be at the time that we are proceeding ahead to do something, that would often be a time that he would look for an omen, because that was meaningful. That was the time we were proceeding ahead to do something. And then he would explain that on the right, these things are good, and on the left, these things are not so good, and certain things are neutral. And then started to pay attention to those things and understand that sometimes they were more meaningful than others. And there, any kind of event is more meaningful when it happens when you have a serious question that you want to have answered. As with anything else, nature is not interested in dealing with things that are trivial. Nature wants to communicate to you in the context of things that are important. And when you do find something that is meaningful, then it may work more than once. For a while, there will come a point where then it may stop working, but sometimes it will work more than once, provided that you maintain that objectivity that is not encouraging you to project forward a desired result, which can skew the results.
So on the point of a question, I remember a number of times where I would see something and I would ask you, this seems like a bad omen, or this seems remarkable in some way. And you'd say, well, what were you thinking about? Or what question did you have in your mind when that happened? You know, so there's that piece of, you know, seeing something that's remarkable or interesting or strange or out of the ordinary, or that kind of jars you in your life. And then also what has been on your mind, or what are you contemplating, you know, and putting those pieces together when it's relevant. So I don't know if you have some practical advice for people, maybe who this is new to, but how you can kind of use this to start communicating with nature. Because another thing that you've told me is that it doesn't really matter how you do divination, but, you know, we're all trying to communicate with nature, and nature is very open to having that communication with us if we're open to it.
I think that the place to begin is to sit down and indicate to nature that you would like very much to be open to receiving communication from her, and to convey to her your intention to use that communication appropriately, to use it for possibly your own benefit, but certainly for the benefit of others and not for the detriment of others. And convey to her also that you are, that you will commit to doing your best not to either overinterpret or underinterpret, that you will try to keep your mind as much a blank slate, a tabula rasa, as possible, so that whatever she would like to write on it, she's able to do so with a minimum of difficulty. So maybe that means starting off by just sitting down and calming your mind and bowing down to the supreme reality and bowing down to Prakriti, to nature, the manifested universe, and saying to the manifested universe, "Oh, manifested universe, I bow down to you. I wish to be open to you. Please provide me with guidance when I most need guidance." And then let your mind be nice and calm and open. And it may take a little bit of time for that connection to occur. Because after all, you have to get onto her wavelength. She is always ready to communicate with her, but you have to get onto her wavelength. And because if you haven't done that in the past, or you're not doing that now, it may take you a little bit of time to create an alignment through which that transmission can occur. There has to be a connection. And so if you worship a deity, then you can request that deity to act as the channel for those messages, or you can request that deity to facilitate that connection between you and nature. If you don't worship a deity, then of course nature is all around us, and you can request nature, find something that is meaningful to you, that represents, that symbolizes nature to you, and use that thing, whatever it is, to focus your attention and your intention so that thing can act as sort of a conduit through which the information can come. Then be patient. And then just, omens are all about paying attention. Human beings are apparently unique as animals in being able to select certain things to pay attention to in our environments, and while being able to ignore many other things. So if you're walking down the street and you have something on your mind, a question that you're trying to answer, but if you were deliberately looking at particular things because of some rational, you're actively selecting things, it's going to be more difficult for a message that nature is trying to give to you to come to you. So if you really are requesting advice, then you need to be walking down the street or doing whatever, moving in the world in whatever way you're moving, and having your mind be as blank as possible, but not necessarily blank. It's just that sort of quiescent attention that you see in a cat who's watching a mouse hole. The cat appears to be paying no attention whatsoever, but it always has part of its attention on the mouse hole. And similarly, you may be doing other things, but you always want to have part of your attention on what's going on around you. So if something does catch your attention, that you can put your attention on there and see what that thing is, because nature has to catch your attention. One of the things about an omen often is that you're not expecting it. It's something that is going to be unusual. And that's why you can interpret it as an omen, because if it's something that happens all the time, it's hard to identify that as happening today being noteworthy because it happens all the time. So if you're looking for things that are out of the ordinary, you have to allow those things to attract your attention. And the best way to do that is always have part of your attention available for something to attract your attention, even while you're doing everything else you're doing while you're walking down the street, including making sure you're not being run over while you're paying attention to everything else.
So as I listen to you talking, it sort of resembles processes we've talked about tuning into your intuition. So what relationship does this have to honing our intuition?
It has every relation to honing our intuition, because this is how people in the past, in the pre-verbal past, people thought in emotions, but even earlier than that, they thought with intuition. They allowed the gut to provide them information. And the gut was connected directly to the parts of the brain that are involved in really getting a clear perspective on the environment, because all of us have to eat. That's an essential for every living being. So the parts of us that are associated with eating are the parts that are always paying attention to the environment, trying to find things to eat and trying to avoid being eaten. And so that is so fundamental and so basic and so connected to all parts of the environment that it is the most useful method of thinking when it comes to trying to connect to the environment, to understand what the environment is trying to communicate to us, even if it doesn't directly relate to literal food.
So I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute and ask you about a remarkable omen that you experienced, just to give an example from your own life, if you can think of one right now.
I can certainly think of one right now. And it happened when I was, this was probably 15 or 20 years ago, when I was in Benares, Varanasi, Kashi, this city that is possibly the most sacred city in India, the one that is sacred to Lord Shiva. And I was in a cycle rickshaw proceeding down the road near a place called Pandey Haveli. And and the rickshaw had to stop because because there were traffic was going this way. And it was a marriage procession. Which is not uncommon in Benares. And of course, there was everybody, all the humans in the marriage procession. But the omen that struck me was the fact that at the head of this marriage procession, there was a vulture. This was at a time when there were vultures in India. There are now almost no vultures left anymore. But at this time, there were vultures. And this was not a flying vulture. This vulture was walking. This was a walking vulture. And the vulture was at the head of the marriage procession, and it was walking along. And I thought to myself, because a vulture is the vahana, the vehicle for Lord Shani, for the planet Saturn, who is the planet of dissatisfaction, sorrow, things not working out, etc. And so if you have the representation of this planet, Saturn, who is not at all indicated when one is thinking about marital happiness and conjugal felicity, walking at the head of the marriage procession, it was completely impossible for me to conclude that this was going to be a successful marriage. And I don't, of course, have any idea whether that was the case or not, but simply, and why was this noteworthy? Because number one, rarely have I seen vultures on the ground. And when they were on the ground, they were not walking in front of human beings. They were maybe there trying to eat the corpse of some animal. And number two, I have never, ever seen a vulture, and not before and not since, seen a vulture walking in front of a procession, of human beings leading the procession. So even though I never found out the result of that omen, to me that was extremely meaningful because it was so unusual, so striking, and it was presented to me. If I had been there half a minute earlier or half a minute later, I would never have seen it. So it was definitely meant for my eyes. And in my opinion, it was there just as an indication because Benares is a very, very, very Saturnian place, an indication of just how Saturnian that place really is. And so, of course, I said to myself, Om Namah Shivaya.
That's an interesting one. Yeah, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit because, I mean, I use omens in my own practice with clients, you know, when I'm doing a reading for someone, if something happens, literally before they are sitting down to talk with me, I'm taking notice of all those things. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about it, because it is a big part of Jyotish or Vedic astrology. You could talk a little bit about how that fits in to making a reading for somebody.
Again, it's the sort of thing that I think you have to be careful not to overinterpret. But if you're sitting down to do a reading for astrology for medicine, because in Ayurveda we use omens also, anything that happens when you have a question in your mind can be a meaningful thing. And it's particularly in the context of reading, let's say, a Jyotish chart, and it's reasonable to try to interpret things that happen in the context of the nine planets. So, for example, you're sitting down and you're trying to look at someone's chart, and all of a sudden, someone who is in your house, presumably, brings you a piece of white cake. So the cake is sweet. The cake is white. Sweets and white things often relate to Venus. This might be something that would cause your attention to proceed in the direction of looking at Venus. Or if you are you're looking at the chart and you're thinking about the condition, let's say, of the sun. And if at that moment the sun either comes through the clouds and suddenly it's very bright, or if the sun that was previously very bright suddenly is completely obscured by a cloud, then I think that's a very reasonable omen to suggest that whatever you were thinking about the sun needs to be interpreted in that context of either the sun having been obscured, now being open. That's a good indication for the sun. The sun having been open, now being obscured, that's not such a good indication. In that context, I think it is important to note that not only is it important not to interpret everything as an omen, it's also important not to overinterpret whatever omen may come to you. And it's generally just good to start with, is this a good indication or is this a not so good indication? After that, other things may come to you, other pieces of information, other modifiers may appear, but the fundamental question is this event that I have noticed, that I am convinced appears to be a genuine omen, is this event indicating is a more positive result or a more negative result? And so I think that's the thing that you want to be examining first of all. And after that, you can start being more detailed about it, possibly.
Great. Well, I think that's been a really good overview of what omens are and how to work with them, even if you're new. Do you have anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Well, I think everything that comes to you or to anyone else is part of your fate. And sometimes that fate can be stronger or what we call as a result of drudha karma, very strong karma. Sometimes that fate can be not so strong, drudha karma. I think it is important to remember that if your fate in a certain area is strong and it is strong in a good way, then even if you get bad advice or you misinterpret something, eventually things will work out in the right direction. And if your fate is not very positive in a certain direction, even if you get good advice, even if nature provides you the right advice for you, it's quite possible that you will misinterpret it, or you will not interpret it in a way that is that will assist you to make the best use of it. So I think the most important thing is, if, no matter who you are or no matter how you're trying to work with omens, is to always be very respectful towards nature and to request her not only to send you the message, but to assist you to interpret it properly and for you to use it in a way that will not only benefit you, but that will benefit her in some way. Because after all, you're getting that information from her, and it's only appropriate if you offer her something in return.
Thank you so much. This has been really enlightening.
Namaste.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would you like to get off your chest? Are you holding on to secrets, fears, or frustrations? We all carry around different stressors, both big and small. Don't keep it all bottled up inside. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and work through whatever is weighing you down. It's also a great way to learn to resolve conflict, change negative thought patterns, and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/beherenow.